Hi there, my name is Bea Bonner, and you're listening to Community Voices right here on NPR Illinois. Today, I am talking with poet and columnist Christina Barbie. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to talk about this with you.
Yeah, so let's jump right in. I'm not going to waste another second. So first, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I always love this question, but sometimes it leads to a long ramble. So I'll keep it as concise as I can. Like you said, I'm Christina. I'm a poet and a columnist, and I'm a lot of things depending on the day of the week. I love to be involved in the community and volunteer, and I'm a huge advocate for mental health work and talking about mental health and normalizing it, which is a huge reason I got into poetry, was a way for me to handle what I was going through the past few years, which is also a reason I got into writing at such a young age. I've been writing ever since I could remember. My favorite Christmas present was a typewriter when I was a kid. And it was one of the few ways I could fully express myself and dive into what I was going through. And so writing and psychology has always been such an important piece of me. And I'm so excited to be publishing a book next year on my poetry and to continue my work as a columnist for the Springfield Business Journal.
Could you talk about more about your upcoming book?
Yeah, so I decided to publish a book of poetry for next year. It's self-published. I did not want to wait around for somebody up in New York or in the big cities to see my work. And it's about my journey to become the woman I've always wanted to be, the woman I've always aspired to be, but thought I could never become. The past few years have been really hard for me. They've been a huge turning point. I had realized over a year ago, my marriage was ending and I just didn't know how to end it. I was still working through some deep depression that I did not know I was in and struggling really hard with that. And then I took the big step to get the help I needed to end my marriage and to dive back into my life and who I really was and find out who I am. And that's a lot. I lost a lot of friends. I made a lot of changes. I don't even look the same that I did, you know, a couple of years ago. And so that's what this book is about. It's about, you know, self-love, finding love, transformation, and relearning who I am as a person.
That's a lot to really go through. How do you stay motivated?
I luckily have some of the most amazing people in my life now. I have some of the best friends in the world and such a great support system through my chosen family who help motivate me and keep me moving forward. And don't ever accept the phrase, "I'm fine, everything's okay," as an actual answer. So whenever I'm not feeling okay and feeling that lack of motivation, they dive right in and help me. Therapy is a huge way to keep myself motivated and moving forward when I might, you know, fall into a spike or something like that. And I just keep motivated because it's something that's so important to me, and expressing myself and my writing is so important to me that it's hard to find a day where I'm not wanting to even write for a couple of minutes. So it's not that hard to stay motivated with the support system and with the mentality I have now.
You're so open about talking about mental health. Why do you think that is such a problem that we're experiencing right now, especially with some of the older generations?
I think it's such a struggle because there's such a spiral of shame around it. Like, how can I be so sad because my life is so great? I have all these things. There are people that don't have these things. I've dealt with that a lot with people who thought they were helping when I was really bad, saying, "I don't understand why you're so sad and so depressed. You have such a nice house. You have such good friends. You have this." And what people forget is by telling us that, you're making it worse, because we know we have this great life and these great things, but we can't help it. And it's a lot of spiral of that, that shame that we go through and that shame we feel, and an embarrassment because we don't want to be going through it. And I was embarrassed for years and worried about what it would mean to change my friendships and change my relationships with people because of what I was going through. And finally, I realized that the real people that are going to be there for me will be there for me. And regardless if I'm at my highest high or my lowest low, and if they want to accept me for me and have a deep, true relationship, then they're going to need to know about this and listen to me and be here for me.
I think that's important. And then one final question on this topic of mental health. What can you say to people that are considering therapy or considering some coaching or counseling?
It's not always going to work the first time with the first person. I know some friends who tried therapy and they just didn't like the therapist. and they gave up. And I completely get that because we assume that they're all experts in the same way, just like we might assume every nurse knows the same exact things, right? They went to the same school, right? So they must know exactly what to do. But that's not true. Psychology is so complex, and it's something I love to study for fun in my spare time. And it is very complex, and it depends on what you've gone through personally, what that person on the other side of the table's gone through. So don't give up with the first person if it doesn't work out. Try a few therapists. It's kind of like dating, but a little more serious, right? So maybe the first date didn't go that well. Maybe you give them another shot. Maybe you swipe right on somebody else and you try a different therapist. So just don't give up easily on it, because your mental health is the one thing that's always going to be there for you. So you need to make sure it's good.
I think that's a very important message. But switching gears, kind of in the same way, what inspired you to become a columnist and what do you write about?
I was inspired to become a columnist because actually Michelle over at the Springfield Business Journal, the editor, approached me through my network, my professional network at the company that I founded a few years ago that I'm now closing down due to COVID. She found me through that. It was a professional development company. And I talk about workplace excellence and creating a positive culture within the workplace, from different leadership tips to transitioning as a leader to being a team member, creating a great culture. And we talk a bit, little bit about diversity, equity, inclusion, and anti-racism as well.
It sounds like having your own company really kind of gets you ready to write more.
It did. I am kind of sad about shutting down my company, but it's been a few years. I believe a lot of things have their seasons in your life, and this was definitely a great season for me to start that company, have it for the past several years, grow as a person through it, make the right network connections, and more fuel my passion for writing and love of writing. And so I'm really glad I had it, but writing's always been there for me. Writing's always been what I truly love to do. And I needed to open that space for myself to be able to focus more on that, to be the best I can at that.
Yes. And you're still doing so much in the community. So can we talk a little bit about what you're involved in and what community service do you do?
That's a list. gosh, I'm going to forget an organization. A few years ago, I think it was beginning of 2019, actually, that I started getting really involved in the community. I was tired of being the person that complained that Springfield wasn't the town I wanted it to be. So I decided to start doing something, which is another piece of advice I would love to offer people, is if you're going to complain about it, then try to fix it. So I'm involved in the Junior League of Springfield, which is a women's volunteer organization. We focus on food insecurity in the area, which is something that's really important to me. Growing up, we didn't always have food on the table. And it was really rough knowing that my dad was in the military and would deploy a lot to be able to feed us kids and pay the bills. And that's really hard, and no kids should ever go through that, which is why I'm so passionate about all the programs I do with the Junior League for Food Insecurity. I also do some work with the Rotary Club of Springfield. I'm at the Midtown Club downtown, and we do a lot of work with children's literacy, which for obvious reasons is very important to me as a writer. And I also work with Illinois Women in Leadership to help women with professional development and growth and to create a better workforce for women through our personal growth. And what else am I not? Momentum on Main Street Committee for Downtown Springfield, Inc. to work with local businesses to become better and to do what they can, especially during this time when things are so hard for all businesses, especially our small businesses. This is really important to me to be involved with helping businesses grow and be better. And I think the other one I'm involved in right now, if I remember right, is also still the United Way Communications Committee. I'm on to help communicate to the community what United Way is doing right now and the programs we're coming up with for this year.
So how do you find time to even do all these activities?
I have the most color-coded schedule and calendar in my phone known to man. For me, these things are things I love so much. So finding the time isn't really hard for me because it's a hobby. I find time for my friends, but a lot of my friends are involved in these things already. So it's like, hey, let's go grab brunch, but beforehand, let's do this food drive real quick and get some money for the community, maybe volunteer at the farmer's market or, you know, go sell some produce or what have you for whatever we're doing in that group that week. And then let's go get brunch and catch up and have girl time or friend time or whatever. And it's just also a matter of priority. I really love the concept of, you know, treating yourself. And I just had a treat yourself day the other week where I spoiled myself all day But I also feel like we as a society need to treat ourselves and treat others at the same time. So if you're going to spoil yourself, maybe spoil a family down the road who is roughing it right now because of COVID or because of something else. And if we all just make a little bit more space for that, we're going to feel, find a lot more fulfillment and joy in life. And our calendars will be filled up with better things to do, honestly.
I agree. But, you know, we're going through COVID-19 right now. So how has that affected what you've been able to do in the community?
For a little while, a lot of the organizations I'm involved in, we just hit pause because it was such a shock. With food drives, you need people to bring stuff to you and you need to collect it or you need to go get it from them. With fundraisers, you know, like trivia nights, you need to have people in person to do these, or so we thought, right? So we also kind of hit pause a lot on things because we thought it was going to be just a few months, maybe 2 months where we were just going to all reset our schedules and take a break. And as time went on, we realized we had to change gears and refocus. And we've done a lot of fundraising online. And surprisingly enough, people were so giving during this time. We thought we would struggle with a lot of the organizations I'm in to even get money. But people understand when they're going through hard times that other people are too. And I feel like that's when a lot of people are more understanding and more giving. And so we switched a lot of our events to online events. The Junior League of Springfield, we just did a virtual running race challenge. It's called the Sangha Run Challenge. And it's 45 miles for the entire month of October. And we're wrapping it up. And we had hundreds of people sign up, just over 100 people from 7 different states sign up. And we made over $4,000 from after post profits from everybody donating money to signing up. And that was one of the biggest fundraisers we've had in a long time. And nobody had to come see anybody in person. Unless you wanted to pick up a bag of swag, you didn't have to see anybody. And so it just kind of flexed our creative muscles a lot lately to come up with new innovative ways to raise money and to fundraise. And it's been really fun, honestly. Stressful, but still fun to be able to do that.
What do you think about all the virtual events going on right now? Are there too many, or do you think this is the new way that we'll be doing things?
In a sense, I think there is too many. I think at first, like most people who also has a day job, I got Zoom fatigued for a while. I was like, if I have to see one more person over video, I'm going to scream. And there was a lot of the cocktail hour kind of things after work. So for a while, there was a lot and there was too many. But now I feel like a lot of folks have hit their groove. And I know the organizations I'm in, we've hit our groove of finding the right kinds of virtual events for what we need and the people we're trying to serve. And it's honestly something I feel like we all need to integrate into the future as not just a backup plan, just in case another COVID happens, but as an extra option, because there's a lot of people that don't want to go into big crowds, even once this is all over, but they still want to participate and still want to help out.
I can relate to that because I like to call myself an introvert. This has really just honed in on me being an introvert. So I definitely understand that. And then another question I had, do you mind if we talk about your day job a little bit?
Yeah, go for it.
So what do you do?
So by day, I help design and develop systems for the company I work for, which is Horseman Insurance, a great company downtown Springfield. And I'm a business analyst. So what I do is I basically go to the business and I ask them, what do you want the system to do? And we talk and talk and talk a lot. And I write down exactly how a system's supposed to operate. In the perfect world, I write down exactly how the system should operate. And then I hand it over to designers and developers and they write the system off of it. And I do a lot of process reengineering to make companies more efficient and effective and make departments more efficient and effective so we can produce more quality work in a faster way to serve our customers way better than we already are.
So how did you get into doing something like this? It sounds really interesting and different.
It is different. I went to school for business management. I wanted to operate and run my own business, and I checked that box and also do management. And through a lot of crazy steps and random steps and just turns in my career, I just want to try this other thing out. I realized I really like to do a lot of analysis and make things better and improve things. And it was just kind of a natural next step for me. at the time, I didn't realize how natural it was until I started realizing what I could do in this job. And that's how I got to be able to do it. And I'm a little bit of a nerd. I like to joke with everybody in the department. I'm the least IT person in IT. So talk to me a little dumb, which sometimes works out really great. Cause then you have the business owners who I don't think they're dumb, but they don't speak IT. So I get to translate a little easier cause I'm asking all these questions and really diving deep. And as somebody who just has a very naturally analytical brain to begin with, it kind of was a great next step and natural step, like I said, for me to kind of go into this deep dive analysis work.
Do you think this translates to your writing and your poetry?
It does. With my career, I have to ask all the negative questions of what could go wrong, which is not that fun to do as a human being in your life of what could go wrong in this next thing I'm doing. But I have to ask those questions in my day job. And so it's been really kind of interesting to incorporate that way of thinking into my writing and my personal life of what could go wrong? What are all the issues with this? And some tools I use in my work, like root cause analysis to get to the cause of a problem, has actually really, really helped with my mental health to realize, oh, you're not just sad because a recent example was because somebody didn't show up to a date. You're not just sad because of that. There were some other issues. Let's deep dive into this and figure it out and get to the root cause of it. And I think that's really important and really has helped out a lot and has helped translate into my writing of, as I'm writing a piece about my feelings and how I'm feeling about something, I get to sit back and analyze why I'm feeling that way and write even a better piece because I know where it's coming from.
I love the way that you're able to relate the two. And now I'm wondering, is there anything our listeners should be reading right now to boost their spirits or help them with their self-care and mental care?
I always, always encourage everybody to read Brené Brown. She is amazing. I know a lot of people aren't into reading. Sometimes I go through shifts of not wanting to read, but she has a Netflix special and I cannot recall what it's called. She has a really great Netflix special that brings me to tears every time that I think is just really inspirational and important to read. She talks a lot about leadership, but a lot of the work she talks about is really great to read or listen to during this time. I think with the political divide that's only deepening as we get closer and closer to Election Day, something that's really important to understand is why people think what they think. And two books that I always recommend is The Believing Brain by Michael Shermer, which is about how people have formed their models of thinking so you can understand why they became that way and why they think that way, so you can have a better understanding of them. And this other book, and I cannot recall the author of it, but it's How We Know What Isn't So. And it is about how we as a society start to form beliefs around things that we know factually are untrue, but deep down we believe them so true or to be so true. And I think that's really important because I've caught myself as I'm reading that book going, oh, wow, the example he used is something I thought was true, but now I'm researching and finding the facts and realizing that's not true. And then you get to understand, you know, the way that the media or data or whatever it is, or the people around you have caused you to think these things. So I think those are some really great books to help just understand other people and help with your mental health and understanding yourself as well.
It'll definitely help you keep an open mind. And so I'm going to jump back to community service with my last question. Is there anything going on in the community right now that our listeners should be getting involved in?
So I'll speak on food insecurity again, just because the holidays are coming up and COVID-19 is not going away and the impact is only getting deeper for a lot of families. Food drives, food drives, food drives. Please find a food drive somewhere around you. They're all over Facebook. The Junior League of Springfield, we're starting a new one again, if I can just plug that. The micro pantries that we help stock and that a lot of my friends help stock are running low again. So if you go to the grocery store and you have a few extra bucks, please just pick up some extra non-perishables, set them aside every time you go into the grocery store until you have a full box. Donate them to the food bank or wherever, go to a food drive. The holidays are really, really hard as is for the community. And then with what's going on with COVID, it's even harder to put food on the table. So please try to spare a few bucks, skip Starbucks this week and donate what you can.
And last, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to add that I was really happy to do this. And this was a childhood dream of mine. Ever since I started listening to NPR when I was so young, I've always wanted to be on NPR. And so I was so excited to be able to do this. So thank you so much. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to ramble on for a little bit about all the things that make up who I am.
Well, we are excited to hear about you. And I know our listeners will love to hear your story. I think this was really good.
Thank you so much.
Christina was kind enough to give us a snippet of some of her poetry. Let's hear it.
This piece is called What I Am Not. I am no longer the healing song that will croon heartbroken men to sleep as they stain my bedsheets with their tears, but refuse to return my song with their own stanzas of comforting poetry. I will no longer sew men back up as if they're soldiers returning from war, covered in wounds that need my touch. I am not their nurse. My heart is not a spot of respite for broken down men to visit as they please, as they rest and recover from the pain they felt while they choose to break me down as a part of their gratitude. I am not a lighthouse or a ship that will save another man from drowning in his own pain and brokenness or crashing upon a shore of jagged rocks that he has spent his entire life sailing for. I am not a home for wayward men to rest their weary heads on my chest after feigning interest and using my love and my lust as a tool to fix what they've let stay broken. I am a healing song for what has broken me. I am a battlefield nurse healing my own wounds. I am a spot of respite to recover from my pain. I am my own lighthouse, my own rescue ship. I am my home.